Good morning. Again, we'd like to thank everybody for that nice gift from the church to my wife and myself. And it never ceases to amaze me when I think of my wife. You know, you hear the saying, behind every good man, there's a better woman. And she truly is. Amen. I think about the time raising our family here, and of course my daughters are married and gone, and my son, he's almost, he's possibly getting in that way, and I pray for him, and I also pray for his girlfriend, his wife-to-be, Lord willing. But, you know, I'm just so thankful to God for no matter where I was, out making a visit, going to the hospital, away speaking or whatever, just to know that, boy, my wife was holding down the fires. You know, she was going through the camp and holding things, keeping it strong. And I just appreciate more than anything your recognition of her as a pastor's wife. And I really appreciate that. And I want to thank you very much. We have a couple people want to pray for this morning before we get started. I'd like you to be in prayer for Jerry Bouchard. Jerry had to go into the hospital, and he's had some health issues. Jerry has a lot of health issues, and every once in a while, one raises itself above the other, and he's in the hospital, and they're checking on him, and he sleeps quite a bit. He's on medication. They kind of keep him sleeping quite a bit. But do pray for him. Pray for his wife, Helen. She couldn't be here today. She's going to be going up there to see Jerry. Also, I'd like you to pray for our Meredith Matthew. I got a text mail from her husband, Jason, last night around 10 o'clock or so. She was out doing some shopping with a girlfriend, started having a lot of stomach pain doubling over. They took it to the ER and ran some tests. And first, it came back that something was up with her pancreas. And they ran more tests and ruled that out and said what she does have is she's got a kidney stone that's not quite to the bladder yet, and it's causing her a lot of pain and discomfort. So we want to keep those folks in prayer. So before we do anything else, let's pray for these two, especially this morning. Our gracious Father in heaven, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we are grateful that you are our Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord who heals. And I ask and pray for both Jerry and Meredith today, God, that you would just heal their bodies, that you would help them, Father, through this time. What Jerry's dealing with in the hospital, Lord, give doctors wisdom as you oversight that hole that's going on with him. And then also with Meredith, Lord, she's been through a lot lately, and I'd ask and pray that you would touch her body and heal her and strengthen her, Father, please. And we think of others throughout our church body, Lord, you know who they are, and without going through the list right now, God, that you would just work behalf of all these, those who are ill and couldn't make it to the first service this morning, and those who are ill and couldn't make it to this service now, Father, that you'd restore them back to health and bring them out to us again soon. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to open your word again today. I pray, Father, that you would bless, that you would work in hearts. And Father, if there be one or more today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, God, that you would speak to their heart. If they do not know that their sin is forgiven and heaven can be their home for all eternity, God, that this message would strike a chord in their life and that, God, you would save them. Father, I pray this morning for the Christian. Our topic at hand today is something we all need to take a look at because every day it looks at us. So, Father, help us. Help us to come before you with an open heart. Help us to come before you with a steady mind and to be listening to what you have for us today, Lord, and speak to us and challenge us in this area. Bless us in everything that's said and done today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more prayer request for you before we start. I'd like it if you would be in prayer for myself and Brother Bob Souza. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., we leave. We fly out for Guatemala, and we're going to be going there. We're going with a group called World Help, and there's 12 of us going, 4 from the World Help organization that run the program there, and then the other 8 some we're from Massachusetts, some are from California, there's one from Virginia, there's some from Georgia, and we're all going to fly in and meet there, and we're going down there to look at projects that have been done through this World Help organization and to see other needs that there are in the villages. We're not going to be going to schools or anything like they did, our group went before, They are taking us into villages to see the people, go in their homes, where they live, and to see just what can be done by way of ministry needs, helping people. And so it's kind of a missionary exploration trip, and I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to Guatemala, so God's opened up this door, given us the chance to do that. So if you would pray for us, we leave early Monday morning. Tomorrow morning at 6, we fly out, and we get back late Thursday night around 11:30 in the evening. But just for safety, and that God will give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and that God will work mightily there. We would so appreciate that. Take your Bible, if you would, with me this morning. Turn to John 21, the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. Again, it's good to see you here today. What a beautiful day. I could tell that today it was a beautiful, sunny, and going to be a fairly nice day throughout the day because we had more people in the morning worship service than we have now. And whenever the weather is like pristine, I think sometimes that happens. Now, when the weather gets to be beach weather, I don't know what we're going to do if everybody comes just for the first service, but we'll figure it out. Amen? We'll figure it out, but we're glad you're here. John chapter 21, let's begin reading in verse number 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now you remember, if you look at John 21, go to the beginning, Christ appeared to the disciples in Galilee. They're doing some fishing, but they have not had any success. They're instructed where they can place their net. They catch a buku of fish, and then Jesus calls them in the shore, and he feeds the disciples, and he begins talking with them as he's showing himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So in verse 15, we pick up, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And when he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou dressed thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee or dress thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Let me start out. We talked last week about how Jesus asking questions. A lot of time Jesus confronted people with simple questions, and it really brought the message to their eyes and ears as to what God was wanting to do in them and through them. Well, here Jesus asks a question, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Not once, not twice, but three times. Most theologians and commentators believe that's a result of Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus. You remember he denied him three times, the cock crow. Now, here's three questions. The same question, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. And if, to the point that Peter in verse 17 says he's grieved because the Lord said unto him the third time, do you love me? How many people do you know who have convinced you that they really have a deep abiding love for the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people do you know that you are convinced beyond any shadow of doubt that they have this deep, abiding love for Jesus? I mean, these are the type of people, you know they're a Christian, they go by you and you say, you see that person right there? Boy, that person loves God more than anybody I know. You see that person right there? Boy, they so love God. Boy, God is working in them and through them. And boy, it just radiates. Those people, how many of those do you genuinely know who you could look their way and say, they're it. They're the one. I can see it in them. It resonates off of them. It comes out of them all the time. One of the most personal questions ever asked by the Lord Jesus Christ to Simon Peter was, "Do you love me?" And even though this question was addressed to Simon Peter then, let me tell you something, it has personal meaning for each of us today. In fact, it has been called life's greatest question. And I believe that because if it's taken seriously, it causes us to take a look. It causes us to take a look at ourselves. What am I doing for the Lord? How am I serving God? How do I live for Him on a daily basis? In fact, that question causes us, Jesus' question to Peter, "Do you love me?" That's a question we need to think about. Do I love Him the way I should? Do I love Him more than anyone else? You know, I've said this before, and I've had people come to me in the past where I say, you know what, if you pull out the priority sheet, number one on that priority sheet ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, God at the top of the sheet. And then under God, you have your priorities coming down. And I've had some people come to me over the years and just a little upset with me and say, well, you know what? I don't think I could put God. It's not God at the top of the list. Preacher, you got that wrong. It's my husband's at the top of the list. Or you got that wrong. My wife is at the top of the list. And sometimes single parents will come to me and say, you got that wrong. My children are at the top of my list. And I always try to, in a very loving way, non-confrontational way, to say to them, I'm sorry, brother, or I'm sorry, sister, you have it wrong. If you read the Bible, we are taught in Scripture that numero uno, right? Number one is Almighty God. And in fact, I tell husbands, you know what? Don't be upset if your wife says, Jesus Christ, her relationship to Christ, relationship to the Father, that's number one on the list. You want her to have him number one because she'll be a better wife. And I say to the wives, you want your husband to have the Lord God number one priority because he'll be the better husband. And I say to the children, you want mom and dad to have Jesus number one because they'll be better parents. And you want your children to have number one Jesus because they'll be better children. That's what we find throughout the Scripture. I find that when God is not number one, when our relationship to Christ is not number one in our life, then we see these little problems that start coming, little tributaries start working their way into our life, and they cause havoc. And so here we see something with Jesus. He's speaking to Peter, and he says, do you love me? Now I want to take that question and turn it on you. Do you love him more than anything else in the world? Do you love him more than anything else in life? That's the question we pose to you this morning. Three things I'd like to look at, and then we're all done. Number one, if you love Jesus, your life will demonstrate it. These are three practical truths, easy to remember, God wants us to live out. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will demonstrate. You know, it's interesting when Jesus questioned Peter, he knew that if Peter did love him, it would be revealed in Peter's life. And this is also true in your life, and it's true in mine. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, our life will reveal it. Why? Because when we become a child of God, we become a born-again believer. Amen? Born from above, the Bible said, John chapter 3. We become Christians. That means Christ-like. That means imitator of Christ. You know what? God never called my wife to imitate me. And God never called me to imitate my wife. But God did call both of us to imitate Jesus Christ. And that's something we have to resonate throughout our lives. We need to know this. And we talk about if we love Jesus Christ, it will be demonstrated through our life. A couple of side things we want to shoot to you here. Number one, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be demonstrated through your life. Your life will reveal the quality of your love for Him. The quality of your love for Him. Somebody once said, can you imagine a young man being happy with less than first quality love from the girl he is engaged to marry? Mm-mm. Not at all. I love my wife with all my heart, and she loves me. We'll be married 32 years this coming December. And I'll tell you what, kids are out of the home. We're empty nesters, all of this. And I love it. I love it when the kids come home, and I love it when they bring the grandchildren. and I love to spoil the grandchildren, and I love to give them back, and they get to go back home again. Amen? You say, boy, that sounds awfully mean. Not at all. I'm just being honest. I love this empty nest thing that's going on with me and my wife. And you know what's interesting? I remember years ago somebody said, this is how it's going to happen. And I thought, nah, you don't know. Nah, you don't know. Everything's... But you know what? They're absolutely right. The older we get, the more and more we fall in love with one another on a daily basis. I can't explain it. It just happens. Somebody said, you know, I start seeing people, you know, the people that live together for a long period of time, they said they start looking like one another even. And I thought, there's hope for me yet. I'll have hair. Amen? No, you know, I just, that's how it happens. Okay, you just find yourself bonding in many more things. Some of the differences you used to have when you first got married, there are more similarities now than there are differences. It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. And I think about our love for Jesus Christ, our life revealing the quality of our love. Think about all the things that Christ has done for us out of love. Out of love for you and me. God so loved the world, right? Gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is love, the Bible says. It goes on and on and on. And out of that overflow of God's love to us, boy, what a wonderful blessing it is. When we think about revealing the quality of our love for our Lord Jesus Christ, our love will reveal the intensity, our life revealing the intensity of our love for Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now, this is a reference, actually, to the other disciples where Peter claimed he would be loyal when all others failed. Remember Matthew 26, verse 33. This is what the scripture says. Peter said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, Peter said, I will never be made to stumble. Well, whatever else can be said about Peter, I'm going to tell you what, he became a person of intensity in his love for Jesus Christ. So our life will reveal the quality of our love. Number two, our life will reveal the effect. It'll reveal the effect of our love. You know, I believe the effect of our love as Christians is contagious. I love being around people that love the Lord. I love being around people that the Lord, they walk with God, he's number one. Why? Because it's contagious. I love being around people that are praying people. It's contagious. I love being around people that are soul-winning people. It's contagious. I love being around people that love him. Because out of the overflow of that love, it touches you, it touches me. And in this area, our life will reveal the effect of love. Our life will reveal love's effect on our personal life. Loving Jesus is to have your hopes found in him. Loving Jesus is to have your dreams found in him. Loving Jesus is to have your plans and your purpose and your goals that are affected by that love. Our life will reveal love's effect on others. Peter's love for Jesus Christ caused his life to affect the lives of those around him. My question is, do you love Jesus? If you do, then your life will demonstrate it. There'll be no question. We'll be able to look at you and say, wow, there's a person who loves Jesus. It just comes out of them. It comes out of them. It's like a sweet aroma to the nostrils of Almighty God. The second thing we find here is if we love Jesus, he will have first place in our life. Now, we said that a moment ago, but we want to kind of reach over that just a little bit more. More than just a priority list, but the first place in every area of your life. I'll be down, when I go to Guatemala on Monday, on Wednesday, there's a pastor's conference, and which I didn't know about. I got a syllabus or a text message, and it said that there will be a pastor's conference. It starts sometime after breakfast on Wednesday morning, and it runs through the early afternoon, into mid-afternoon. It's just going to go on. And the text I got said that I will be speaking before several hundred Guatemalan pastors from all over Guatemala. They're coming from all over to this big conference. And I can't wait. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to be a part of that. And in the text message, it said, my topic is the importance of stewardship. Now, we all know what stewardship is about, I believe. We understand stewardship. So they said to me, I have the topic of the importance of stewardship, and I have 20 minutes to preach. That's going to be the challenge, all right? The topic's not going to be the challenge. The 20 minutes might be. So I'm all prepped and ready. I've got everything 14-point type. I've got it all on one side of the page, flip it all over the other side of the page, and I've just read it over, and I'm going to have the interpreter there, so it should take me plus or minus a few minutes, 20 minutes. So I can't wait for that time to be able to go and to be able to do that. But one of the things I love is the topic they gave me, stewardship. Oftentimes we think of stewardship, we automatically start waving a dollar around. We think stewardship, we think money. But can I say to you that stewardship is so much more than that? My topic, I'm going to speak, the importance of stewardship, how Christian are you? And I'm going to be speaking to Guatemalan pastors, asking them, how Christian are you? Because that's where stewardship begins. Stewardship begins when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life as Savior and Lord, and then your proper stewardship puts Him first in everything. See, and if you're not putting Him first in everything, forget the money aspect of it. If you're not putting Him first, just in the fact that you're saved and you're willing to put Him first in how you walk, you're willing to put Him first in prayer, you're willing to put Him first through your witness life, all of that, then what is stewardship if all stewardship is in our minds is just putting another dollar in the plate, but we can live our lives without Him being first in our life? You see what I'm saying? And so this is what we're talking about. If you love Jesus, He will have first place in your life. In fact, it's unthinkable for us to say we love Jesus and then not allow Him to be first place in our life. So Jesus will have first place in our thinking. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to walk around, we're like the computer robot, that everything we say and do is going to reflect, you know, we're thinking about Jesus, we're thinking about Jesus like nothing else comes in our life. No, that's not what we're talking about. But it's like Paul said, pray without ceasing. We're in that spirit of prayer all the time. That's what that's all about. When Paul says pray without ceasing, sometimes we have this picture of somebody on their knees all the time. Somebody has them on a cart with wheels. They're on their knees being pulled around. I mean, they're just praying without ceasing. Well, that's the spirit of prayer we're to be in. But we have so many other things that we do for the Lord, but we're to do them in the spirit of prayer. And the same thing is taught in our thinking process. In fact, I like what Paul said. You remember when Paul was writing there in the book of Philippians, he said this, finally, brethren, he's summarizing his account, Philippians chapter 4, and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure or just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever thing are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what having Jesus Christ first place in our life is all about. That's what first place in the thinking is all about. We're to think about those things that are virtuous because they're virtuous because of Him. We're to think about the things that are praiseworthy because they are that way because of Him. We're to think about things that are lovely because they are that way because of Him. Okay? So we let Him have first place in our thinking. Number two, Jesus will have first place in our devotion. Now, whether it's unfair or not, the Apostle Peter is often known for his weak loyalty. But many fail to remember that more is said in the Bible about his extreme devotion than his weakness. The difference was that his love caused him to give Christ first place in his life. In fact, Jesus went into the account telling us how Peter would die. And Peter, his claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ was not only about loving Him in life, but that he would even love Him in death, whenever that death might come. And you know what I like about that? Because verse 19, this Bible says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Went recently to a funeral Actually, it was a funeral memorial service, and Brother Mike DiAlmeida, he mentioned this morning, his wife's grandmother passed away, and Mike was asked if he would officiate, if he would take care of that. And I do like when Mike began, I went to the service, and when Mike began, he talked about it being a celebration service for the grandma who knew the Lord as her personal Savior and Lord. Amen? And here, this is what Jesus says. He spoke signifying by what death, that is, Peter, should glorify God. Our thinking about Jesus Christ, our lives ought to bring glory to God. Thinking about Jesus Christ, even in our death, it should bring glory to God. Because even there, when people come to mourn or people come to say well wishes to those who are surviving, as that person loved Jesus Christ, we walk and we say, now there was a person, we'll miss them, there was a person who loved God with all their heart, soul, and mind. There was a person whose thoughts were always about the Savior. And see, that's the way it ought to be. If you love Jesus, He will have first place in your life. If you love Jesus, He even reigns first in your death. Do you love Him today? Third thing we see is if you love Jesus, you will serve Him. It only makes sense. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will demonstrate it. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, He will have first place in your life. Oh, and by the way, there may be somebody here saying, well, you know what? First place in my life, preacher. I mean, I serve the Lord in the church in this position, and I'm in this position, and I teach this, and I do this, and I do this. Preacher, I almost don't have any time to do anything else. Oh, well, you know what? There is the work of the church, and then there is church work. When we talk about serving God, we talk about living for God, we're not talking about the easy place. You say the easy place. Yeah, this is the easiest place in the world to serve God. Amen? Everybody comes in, you say amen, everybody says amen. Right? You're teaching a class, and you know you don't have people ready to tackle you and take you down and take you out. I mean, we're talking about when you leave the confines of this place that have been set apart to worship God. We're talking about any way that God can use us to serve in the community outside these four walls. I mean, service, doing service for God as a believer, it might be changing somebody's tire you see broke down on an expressway. It might be standing in a McDonald's when that single mom and she's got her troop of kids and they've all picked out happy meal number one and happy meal number two, and one of the kids picks out three happy meals, and she's going through her change purse, and all of a sudden they say, that'll be, you know, $500. You know, I know I'm exaggerating, but not by much. But you know, and that woman, all of a sudden you see her shoulders go down, her head goes down, and her whole demeanor. And she says, I'm sorry, I don't have enough. You'll have to take one of the Happy Meals off. And then a little voice behind her pulling on her says, not mine, not mine, not mine. Right? Doing service for Jesus Christ might mean hearing what's going on and saying, excuse me, man, you don't have enough? Here you go. Here, take this. Take this. You're not doing it so all of a sudden the curtains go back and the lights spotlight you and they call you Swansea resident, Fall River resident, Somerset resident, Tiverton resident, Westport resident, you know, number one. No. I'm sorry, ma'am. You don't have enough here. We all have to eat, don't we? Just with a smile. If you got a track, you can give the track same time. But we're talking about going outside these walls and serving the Lord in so many different ways. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? You know, even if we give a cup of water in His name, we're blessed in that. Amen? Do you love Him? Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? In other words, do you love me? When Peter replied, I do, Jesus told him this, feed my sheep. Get with the flock. Get involved with the flock. Get the whole flock out there doing things by way of serving me. And Jesus knew that if Peter's love was real, he would serve him. Three things we mentioned to you. One, you'll serve Jesus willingly. You'll serve Jesus willingly. You know, I'm so happy that in times of great danger or need, people don't have to ask to be served, to serve their friends or their country for freedom. Oh, I know there was a time when there's a thing called a draft. People be drafted. If people go to that draft, they'd sign in and boom, they go out of their love for their friends and family and freedom. I think of my father growing up. My father used to tell me the stories. My father had what was known as a perforated eardrum. And he went this place to sign up. Nope. What do they call it when you couldn't go? There was a letter F. 4F. My father had a stack of 4Fs. He'd go this place. Nope, he'd go this place. Nope, he'd go this place. All of my father's friends, military, here we go. Family, friends, freedom, sign up. I can never even convey to you the dejection. Even when I was older, my father would talk about couldn't go serve his country because of a bad ear. He was never more dejected. He said, willingly, I'll do anything. I'll mop the mess hall. I want to be there with the ranks of those men, those women, those individuals. Couldn't do it. We're talking about serving Jesus willingly, not waiting for Jesus to have to draft us into his service. We're talking about serving him willingly, being ready to get out there and serve out of a heart of love. We cannot love Jesus Christ without being moved to serve him. Amen? Serve him willingly. Number two, we'll serve Jesus joyfully. It's hard to conceive of any of the disciples not serving Christ with joy. As we look at the scripture, in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the Bible said, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, did you get that? The disciples, they rejoiced in that they were counted worthy, the Bible says, to suffer shame for his name. I mean, boy, you know what? Preaching the word locked up, sharing the word locked up, going into communities, taking, standing before councils, being bitten, beaten, whatever the case may be. The Bible says to us, and it's very clear, the Bible said that these counted, they rejoiced for they were counted worthy for suffering shame. Serving Jesus joyfully. I hope you have joy in serving Jesus Christ. I hope you don't see it as a burden. I hope that when you have opportunity to share that gospel tract, or you have opportunity to, maybe you're talking to somebody at the workplace and it's off work hours and they know you're a Christian and you begin talking with them and boy, their home's breaking up, they're going through some situation. You know, I hope it's a joy for you to call home and say, honey, you want to put an extra plate on the table? I'm bringing so-and-so home. They just need some encouragement. I hope it's a joy to you to be able to go out of your way to just give a word of encouragement to somebody, to do something physically for somebody, but to help somebody, because as you do it unto them, you're doing it unto Almighty God, and we need to be doing that joyfully. Don't get involved in the Lord's work. Don't do things moping and grunting and groaning and boy, I wish God would call somebody else. You know what? You might just get your wish. And when you do, you're going to be short a blessing. Because God wants to use each and every one of us to joyfully serve him. Last thing we have for you is that you'll not only serve Jesus willingly and joyfully if you love Jesus, but you'll also serve Jesus faithfully. Out of love for Jesus Christ, the disciples serve faithfully in all circumstances. What were some of those? In prison, out of prison, in large cities, in small villages, when the opportunity came, at any time, at any place, whether in life or by death, they served Jesus faithfully. Let me share with you this illustration as we close. This is Ben Patterson is the author, and he writes in a pamphlet, The Grand Essentials. Listen what he says. Ben writes, I have found a theory about old age. I believe that when life has whittled us down, when joints have failed and skin has wrinkled and capillaries have clogged and hardened, what is left of us will be what we were all along in our essence. Exhibit A is a distant uncle. All his life, he did nothing but find new ways to get rich. He spent his senior years very comfortably, drooling and babbling constantly about the money he had made. When life whittled him down to his essence, all there was left was raw greed. This is what he had cultivated in a thousand little ways over a lifetime, seeking to get rich. Exhibit B is my wife's grandmother. When she died in her mid-80s, she had already been senile for several years. What did this senile lady talk about? The best example I can think of was when we asked her to pray before dinner. She would reach out and hold the hands of those sitting beside her. A broad, beautiful smile would spread across her face. Her dim eyes would fill with tears as she looked up to heaven, and her chin would quiver as she poured out her love to Jesus. That was Grandma in a nutshell. She loved Jesus and she loved people. She couldn't remember our names, but she couldn't keep her hands from patting us lovingly whenever we got near her. When life whittled her down to her essence, all there was left was love. Love for God and love for people. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that that's what it's all about. The question is, do you love Jesus? That's the one we have to answer. And what does your life reveal? What does your life reveal? What does your life reveal about your love for Jesus Christ? In the final analysis, it really and truly is all about Him. How you love Him, demonstrate it with your life. How you serve Him, how you put Him first. And especially, I think about our, as we think about the grandma who the essence, it all boiled down to her love for God and her love for others. I am so grateful for each of you here who have been a believer more than I have, longer than I have, who love Jesus a lot longer than I have, but as a senior saint, you're an example to us up-and-comers. Amen? And I appreciate your faithfulness and your love for Jesus. Now, the rest of us, we also need to have that love for Jesus, because guess what? There's always a set of eyes looking in your direction. There's always a set of ears waiting to hear what you have to say. And there's always a set of hands that are looking for an example to take the right path in life, and that right path is the path that leads to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer today.